WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. An American soldier last seen entering North Korea has now been expelled by the country. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
Private Travis King bolted across the border in July when he was supposed to be flying back to the U.S. from South Korea to face disciplinary charges. He was said to have wanted refuge in North Korea because of maltreatment and racial discrimination in the U.S. Army. He has now been taken into custody in China. He's said to be in good health and good spirits.
Court appearance in New York today for Senator Bob Menendez, who was indicted last week on bribery charges. The New Jersey Democrat vows he'll be exonerated. Legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
Prosecutors are going to have to show that corrupt intent. They're going to have to show that Senator Menendez was essentially abusing his position, that even if he didn't say the words, "Give me that cash and I will do this thing," that is what happened.
Former President Trump won't be there when seven Republican presidential candidates debate tonight at California's Reagan Presidential Library. CBS's Ed O'Keefe says Nikki Haley, who got high marks after the first debate, could be targeted by others on stage.
There are signs that she's got broader appeal perhaps beyond the Republican Party. That may allow some of those that want to do well in Iowa to go after and suggest she's not conservative enough, perhaps on that issue of abortion.
The focus is on Republicans in the House of Representatives as a possible government shutdown could be just days away. CBS's Nancy Cordes has more on what's happening in the Senate.
The vote we saw in the Senate last night does qualify as something of a breakthrough. It's a deal that has big bipartisan support. It would keep the government open through mid-November. It includes funding for Ukraine and wildfire and flooding disaster relief. But, and this is a big but, conservatives in the Senate, notably Rand Paul of Kentucky, are threatening to slow down its passage when there is little time to spare before a shutdown this weekend.
Well, striking Hollywood writers are getting back to work today after union leadership approved a new deal with studios. Actors and auto workers' strikes continue. And in Las Vegas, a possible strike is looming. Tens of thousands of hospitality workers have said yes to authorize a strike if there's no deal soon.
Now we're coming together to show these companies that we cannot and should not be left behind because we're the ones that are making your money.
If it comes to a walkout, more than three dozen hotels and casinos could be affected. Checking Wall Street, right now the Dow is down 76 points, the S&P 500 down 2, NASDAQ is down 3.5. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Exergen
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A Wisconsin Republican proposed bill for nearly $3 billion tax cuts in the state has advanced in the legislature. The Joint Finance Committee voted 11-4 to advance the bill, and the Senate Universities and Revenue Committee took public testimony on it. The bill would lower the tax rate on the state's third income tax bracket from 5.3% to 4.4%. Governor Tony Evers is expected to veto the bill when it makes its way to his desk. Anti-abortion groups are calling on Milwaukee and Dane County district attorneys to prosecute abortion providers. Planned Parenthood began providing abortions again after a July decision by Dane County Judge Diana Schlipper, ruling the 1849 law interpreted to potentially ban abortion did not actually apply to consensual abortions. Milwaukee District Attorney John Chisholm and Dane County District Attorney Ismail Ozan have both announced they will not enforce the law. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs.
And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready.
It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show. On the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Going to the Bavarian Beer House. You can join us there. Little politics, then Packers.
Mike and Dom bring the show to you in the Milwaukee area at the Bavarian Beer House in Glendale. Join them Thursday starting at 4 with a Packers party after the live broadcast.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5
The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Civic Media Radio Network. Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
As so it goes. Where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Welcome to hour two of As Goes Wisconsin. Not a new mom yet. We haven't gotten word on whether or not the baby has arrived yet. As soon as we know, we will let you know. Today, Greg Bach, of course, is on the board. He's also co-hosting with me because it's Wednesday, Greg Bach Wednesday. And I'm really excited to talk to our next guest. The Wisconsin DNR tomorrow is holding a celebration to launch a new outdoor wheelchair program. The celebration tomorrow is from 1 to 3 p.m. at Point Beach State Forest in Two Rivers, or Trivers. The new program will bring outdoor wheelchairs to various state-owned properties. So joining us is the DNR Parks and Recreation Management Bureau Director, Steve Schmelzer, to tell us more about it. Good morning, Steve. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Yeah, thanks for having me aboard. How are y'all doing today?
We are great. A little rainy, probably not the best day to head to one of our wonderful state parks, but tomorrow is looking better for the weather. So tell us more about this new effort to encourage more people to get out and enjoy what we have.
Yeah, it's, you know, we're really excited about the rollout of these accessible wheelchairs, track wheelchairs, and a number of others. And so, yeah, it's, you know, we had our first one that came on board at Peninsula State Park earlier this summer. And then this is the second one here at Point Beach State Forest. And then we'll have a third one that'll be coming online at Buckhorn State Park also. And it's, you know, they're great. It gives folks an opportunity to that maybe have mobility concerns or other concerns that they want to be able to get out and recreate and do some of the things that everybody else can do. So that these track chairs are just a great opportunity to get out on the trails and go for a hike per se out on the trails and experience some of the things that, you know, able-bodied folks are able to do. So we're super excited about it.
Absolutely. And you must be getting a lot of good feedback about it too. Like you said, I can't imagine the frustration for people who do have mobility issues and knowing we have all of these resources and just not being able to access them. So how do these are pretty fancy wheelchairs, these outdoor wheelchairs.
Yeah, they're really fancy. They're, you know, they have tracks on them, kind of like you know, like a skid steer, almost like a tank kind of track, so that they can traverse, you know, uneven ground and grow up, go up and go down inclines and declines, and they're electric. And so, you know, we're working closely with our local friends groups to help us manage these, you know, checking them out and checking them in and making sure they're upkept in a good manner. So yeah, we're just a lot of different partners that are really coming to come and help us out with this, and, you know, providing those recreational opportunities for some of those folks.
Where are those wheelchairs manufactured, Steve?
The Action, I believe, is in Marshall, Minnesota. I talked with some of the manufacturers from Action about 2 weeks ago. I was out at the National State Park Directors Conference, and we talked about this one that's going to be coming up for Point Beach, and they're super happy that these are rolling out in Wisconsin close to Minnesota. And I said, our hope is that we can get a few more of these out in the landscape and provide additional opportunities across the whole state for citizens to get out and enjoy the properties.
Absolutely. Can you share the price tag for one of those wheelchairs?
They're around $20,000 to $30,000 each, depending upon the different options and those kind of things. So they can be expensive, but that's where our partners have really stepped up. You know, I know the Point Beach one, we had friends from the Friends of Point Beach, but also Natural Resources Foundation, and then some other private donations. The one that we'll be getting at Buckhorn coming up shortly will be from a program through the National Association of State Park Directors. They put forth, they worked with the Wild Bronco Fund, and so we'll be getting that where that one's funded. So just a lot of opportunities, and people are really stepping forward to help us, you know, purchase these and manage them and get them out there for folks to use.
That's wonderful. Steve Schmelzer is our guest. We're talking about the Wisconsin DNR. They're hosting an outdoor wheelchair celebration tomorrow. How is this going to work, Steve, for people who want to sign up to use one of these chairs? I'm assuming there's a registration form or something?
Yeah, there's typically they're handled through the friends groups, and, you know, each location might have just a little bit different. You can go on the Peninsula one, you can go on their website and then, you know, reserve it on there. I think it's in 2-hour blocks, and then, you know, you can show up and check it out and then take it out. And then Point Beach will be doing something very similar to that. And then Buckhorn would be another one. You know, unique one with the Buckhorn one, it's also going to be up forthcoming, is we also have an accessible cabin there. So that folks are able to rent out, and we have an accessible kayak that's there too. So all these different options just provide some great opportunities for folks coming to use those facilities to get out on the landscape or get out on the water or just do some of those things that everybody likes to do.
Absolutely. And I was going to ask you about the cabins. Is that the only one we only have one right now that's in that program, the accessible cabin?
We have 10 across the state. We have two more primitive ones, and we have 8 would be considered more modern cabins. And those are extremely popular. Those, you know, there's an application that they send in for those, and they're pretty much booked up, I'd say, almost 100% of the time just because they're so popular.
Well, and I would think even for someone who's very elderly, that would be a great option for them. Just because you're old doesn't mean you don't want to be outside in nature.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, you know, one of the first ones was at Mirror Lake State Park, and that's, it's got an interesting history. My father was part of Telephone Pioneers, and they were associated with AT&T and stuff, and they would go out and primarily work on accessibility projects. And so they helped build one of those first cabins up at Mirror Lake State Park. And so and that's about when I started with State Park, so it would have been about 30 years ago.
Wow. So your family is a long lineage of trying to make things better and more accessible. That's great.
Yeah. And we have some great staff that, you know, I used to work closely with Antoinette Gilpatrick. She was one of the first accessibility coordinators that, you know, we worked closely with. And now we have Nick Zelski is another great guy to work with. And Deanna Sell in our Facility and Lands Bureau is also great as far as working on all these just different accessibility projects and different things that we're adding. You know, besides the track, you know, wheelchairs, we have beach wheelchairs.
Those are cool. Can you describe what that is?
Yeah, they're not a motorized version, but they have like a bigger tire, you know, like almost like a flotation kind of tire, and then it's easy for, you know, for somebody to kind of push along the beach. And so we have, gosh, I want to say we have about a dozen of those. They're out on the properties, and probably about half a dozen of those we just added this past year. So, you know, we have a lot of beaches, so it'd be great to continue to roll more of those out as in the track chairs. And we have that, we have a new grit wheelchair. The grit wheelchair is operated by, it's like pumping like levers versus, you know, rolling, having your hands on the wheels of a wheelchair. And so those can be very useful also. Again, non-motorized for those, but, you know, you have to have a little bit more strength to do those. But again, they're super helpful for folks that want to get out on the landscape. And that's going to be at a Cal Moraine State Forest. So yeah, there's a lot of different opportunities. We always recommend to visitors to, you know, check out the department website, and there's an Open the Outdoors link on there, and it'll list all the different attributes and all the different recreational equipment and locations where it's at. And so you can kind of come up with a plan. You know, we always say, hey, you know, check in first, make sure that, you know, that the stuff is, you know, somebody doesn't have it checked out or whatever, but, you know, you can take do an adaptable kayak. You want to take, you know, one of these wheelchairs, track chairs, just a lot of different options for folks. And we continue to add more, and I want to continue to add a lot more in the future.
Well, again, obviously it's being really well received, and there are a lot of people who take advantage of this. So that's terrific. I'm very excited by all of this progress and the potential to continue expanding things like this. And it's good for Wisconsin. It's good for our residents. It's good for the soul. So where is the best website for people to get all of this information?
Yeah, I would go to the Department of Natural Resources website, and there's a state park link on there. And then you could even search Open the Outdoors, and that'll take you right to the list of the properties who have all this equipment.
And that includes the more easily accessible cabins and things like that. Yeah. I assume that there are there ramps and there wheel, you know, wider widths for a wheelchair to maneuver?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And they have, you know, lifts and all sorts of, you know, the kitchens are all accessible, and they're really nice. Again, those have been extremely popular. And, you know, like I said, we have 10 of them. I'd like to have 50 of them, because they would get, you know, they would get used every single weekend and most days during the week too.
Well, if you have a family member or a close friend or someone else who could use one of these special wheelchairs or anything like that, we will get the link up in the show notes to the Wisconsin DNR and the state park links, and then all of the other things that you need to know, how to sign up for this, how this is all going to work. Steve Schmelzer, it has been really a pleasure talking to you. He is the DNR Parks and Recreation Management Bureau Director. And tomorrow, if you're in the area, Point Beach State Forest in Two Rivers, Trivers, from 1 to 3, they're going to be launching that new outdoor wheelchair program. So check it out and make sure you check out the website. And again, we'll get it up on the show notes, all the applicable links, so you can find what you need. Steve Schmelzer, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity to talk with you all. And yeah, any opportunity you have to come out to Wisconsin State Parks or Forests or Trails, take advantage of it.
So all right. Thanks. Thank you, Steve. Get outside. Go do it. After the break, we're talking babies. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready.
It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
A little fog this morning, then it is going to be mostly cloudy with a few off and on sprinkles here throughout the day. Our high 67, the wind east at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, but there will be a little more sunshine, especially in the afternoon, high of 71. We're going to kick it back to summer for the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Lots of sunshine with highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin. I am Jane Matinere filling in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. That song by Player, and I don't know if many people know this, but Ron Moss, who was an actor on the soap opera Young and the Restless, was the bass player in that band.
Oh my God.
I know.
You nerd.
I know, right? It's just, why do I know this? I don't know.
Oh my good gravy. Just wanted a really cool thing from the last segment. We got a text from the 715. Hello, I'm Kristen's aunt by marriage. My daughter Ella uses a power chair, so I'm thrilled to hear what the DNR is doing to make things more accessible. Can't wait to hear baby news.
Oh, that's awesome. We can't wait to hear baby news either.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, we are literally waiting.
Patiently.
And I texted her yesterday. I haven't called her.
I was going to text her, and then it was when I realized what time it was. I'm like, she's going to be up early, and I don't want to wake her up, and I don't want to. So I just, but then she messaged me last night.
Oh, she did.
Late. Don't look at me. And so I sent her a message saying, hey, good. I didn't want to say good luck. I don't know the thing I said good luck, but I said, be awesome, be amazing. I love you and Mike a lot, you know. Just, and then she's like, love you too.
I'm
like,
that's nice. Yeah, she texted me yesterday and said, well, I cleaned out my freezer. She's like, I don't know what to do with myself. She said, I don't know what to do with myself.
I mean, I aside from advice Dr. Lyerly has given her in the past couple weeks, I don't either, and I'm not going to get involved. So,
well, and speaking of, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be with us tomorrow,
okay,
for our public cervix announcement. Right. And I do want to ask her about immediately after you give birth.
Yeah.
What that process is like and for the mom.
Yeah, of course.
How do you feel? And I'm sure there are areas that are very sore.
And I can even ask, what are good steps for the other parent?
Yes.
The non-birthing parent to do, like psychologically, mentally, all those things they can do to possibly help, whether it's just bringing snacks, petting the forehead, or just waiting on them hand and foot.
Or going away.
Or going away. I mean, like, in all honesty, I know a lot of women who had children, and they've told me in confidence, I'm not going to go into details or names, but, you know, the seriousness of postpartum life
And
for sure,
it's important to know that, understand, know it's okay,
yes,
and that you're not alone.
No, you are not alone. It's very, very common. We've talked to Dr. Lyerly about that before, and there are more options now.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't, if you are suffering from postpartum depression, there are some options that we would highly encourage you to seek out.
I always like to go back to what Tom Cruise said: just take a walk.
Tom Cruise. That's where you get your advice.
Well, don't you remember that long time ago, Brooke Shields talked about postpartum depression, going on medication, doing the steps. And he
jumped on her because he's a Scientologist.
Yeah, because he's like, you should just go for a walk around the block.
That's so like a man.
More great words from men.
Yeah, there's a segment right there, Greg Buck.
more great
advice from men.
We'll write that down. That's happening.
For sure.
I will make a jingle and everything.
One other thing that we want to do once Kristen does have the baby is when we get the okay and share the name, because that is not widely known.
No.
And we think we know, but even we're not 100% sure. But once we know for sure and get the okay, we're going to play a little game trying to give hints.
Yes.
And then whoever guesses first will win a fabulous and highly sought after WAUK t-shirt.
Yes, indeed.
I know.
We got a comment on the Facebook live stream. It just says, my name is Steph. Well, I want to say this, Steph. Hello.
Hello, Steph. Is that in reference to Kristen's relation?
Possibly. I have no idea. So if that's Aunt Steph, hello, Aunt Steph. If it's not, hello, Steph.
Yes, hello, Steph. We're glad you're listening. That's wonderful. Also, Steve from Milwaukee texted in about 11 minutes ago, and I just want to share it. This has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Voss has to go. Lemmy Hugh has to go. Van Orden has to go. Fitzgerald has to go. Tiffany has to go. Grothman has to go, Nodal has to go, and Ron Johnson has to go. And this whole Brewer funding deal stinks. Josh Call needs to get off his butt and protect democracy. Michigan did it. Arizona did it. Pennsylvania did it. And now he needs to do it.
Steve from Milwaukee coming in spicy.
Coming in strong. All
right. Very radio when I do that. Making it spicy.
Spicy, yes. All right. When we come back, because we're coming up against the break, there is a new trend in Brazil. I saw this article this morning and it just kind of grabbed me. For men's barbershops. And I very much want to know, for the men in our audience, if this is appealing to you, if you see the value in this, and if so, why?
Well, as a former barber, I have a...
Oh, you were... That's right.
Yeah.
You have an entirely different insight into this.
Yeah, there's choosing the words wisely. But yeah, we'll be talking about it.
Yeah, you want to be careful with those scissors.
Oh, absolutely.
That's for sure.
Yes.
And going back, if you have questions for Dr. Lyerly, who will be here tomorrow, feel free to text him. Feel free to email him. You can send him to asgoswisconsin@civicmedia.us. And we always have a list of topics that we like to cover with Dr. Lyerly. So if you have questions, doesn't have to be baby related, doesn't have to be women's health issue related, just anything and everything, just check it out. Send it to asgoeswisconsin.com. All right, we're going to be back after the break. The news is next. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, and you're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network. I was wrong, and I just can't live.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News brief. North Korea has expelled American soldier Travis King, the Army private who entered the country suddenly in July. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
He was transferred to American custody in China and is believed to be in good health and good spirits, according to one U.S. official.
Court appearance today for New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez. He's vowed he'll be exonerated on bribery charges. Legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
You could be looking at as much as 45 years based, again, on these charges of bribery, on a services fraud, and extortion.
Food support for millions of low-income families is at risk if the government goes into partial shutdown this weekend. Lawmakers are wrangling. National parks will be affected, too. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack.
195 million acres of forest and grasslands. Those forests will be shut down. Services will not be provided.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A Chippewa Falls resident has been sentenced to 9 months in jail after being convicted of stealing catalytic converters. Brandon G. was charged with 7 counts of criminal damage to property, 6 counts of theft, 1 count of attempted theft, and 1 count of felony bail jumping after his conviction of stealing catalytic converters off more than a dozen cars. G. also faces 4 years of probation and will pay restitution of over $12,000. A Wisconsin native is back in the United States custody 2 months after crossing the border into North Korea. Officials say Private Travis King was transferred to U.S. custody in China after North Korea announced it would expel him. According to a Leader Telegram report, the North's official Korean Central News Agency reported King confessed to illegally entering the country due to, quote, ill feeling against inhuman maltreatment and racial discrimination. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number 2 ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging view. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh, yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about 5 minutes.
It was like a
week.
Everyone was excited, and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap.
Goes Wisconsin. I'm Jane Batmayer in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach on the board and also co-hosting today because it's Greg Bach Wednesday. Baby Watch, we were just saying we have not heard anything from Kristen yet, and as soon as we do, we will let you know. But I did want to share one text that came in from the 541. Jane, how over the moon will you be when you find out they named their little girl Jane?
Aww.
That's so, it's not going to happen.
But aww.
It's, I know. It's not going to happen. And that's, I wouldn't, I would be very surprised. And I have absolutely no expectation.
No.
There are people who have been in her life a whole lot longer than
yeah.
me.
Now, do I expect them to name her Greg? Yes.
You think that's a possibility?
Absolutely.
Jane Greg?
Absolutely.
Jane anything. Greg Bry? Bry Sampson?
Bry Sampson?
Maybe not. No. But as soon as we find out, again, we will let you know. And then we'll play a game with the baby name and all that stuff. And we'll have wonderful and fabulous prizes. So, here's what I want to know. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. This article I stumbled across this morning on Vice. The rise of the nudist barbershop. And no, it's not about sex. Beards, hair, mustaches, not a piece of clothing in sight. It's a concept some Brazilian barbershops and salons are offering their customers where you can get your hair done while wearing nothing but your birthday suit. Supporters say this is not a fad. It's a quiet, laid-back alternative to the macho atmosphere of typical male grooming spaces. So there are currently 4 nudist hair salons spread across Brazil, each with their own distinct style. A lot of businesses are trying to copy our name to get more clients, says Arujo, Rodney Arujo. In Sao Paulo, with 8 employees offering multiple services, the male beauty salon offers a range of treatments. The point of the salon, according to this owner, is to spread the practice of nudism far beyond beaches and campsites into urban spaces. Because of the high demand, his salon's opening hours go until 2 a.m. You were a barber.
I was.
You were a barber.
Yep.
Would you
nope.
characterize barbershops as a typical macho male grooming space area?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how is it? In what way is it macho?
It's a lot of bloviating, a lot of chest pounding. It can be like, I mean, not to say it's like this all the time, but there are moments where guys come in there and they're trying to be the thing. They're trying to be the A number one, the alpha. They're trying to talk the loudest, tell the dumbest stories, tell things you're like, that didn't happen to you. I mean, I have so many memories of so many guys who came through. They're trying to hold court and talk about, like, you know,
all the women,
all the ladies or the drinking or the money, or the car, or whatever. It's like, cool. That'll be $26, please. Thank you very much.
It's a lot and go away.
Yeah, I mean, there's macho attitude. If it's a predominantly male space, that level of machismo will come out. There's some toxicity that can come out.
I bet.
But, you know, I mean, if you have relatively cool people working there, they kind of control the space too. And there's really nothing you can do about it. You can't put up a sign saying, like,
no bloviating.
No bloviating. Because most guys be like, what does that mean? But yeah. Now, do I think that nude tonsillarianisms?
What does that mean?
I reword it. Has to do with hair.
Okay.
But I don't think that was actually a word. I just reworked it. But
okay.
Do I think that this is a solution? I honestly don't know. I think that if you are the type of person who is comfortable with your body and doesn't mind walking around this way, definitely, absolutely. And also, if you find those traditional, typical spaces to be too much, go somewhere where it feels more comfortable. And you know, I know a lot of men who prefer going to salons that are predominantly women because the energy is just different. I can't say it's better because I'm not there, but it's
different.
Just different. And I get that as well.
And I have never had this insight before because I guess I just never envisioned how different a barbershop, the vibe would be within a barbershop as compared to a salon. Because at least in my experience, women go to their hairstylist to complain.
Oh.
About your boyfriend, about your job, about your husband, about your kids, you know, about whatever. It's more of a therapy session as she's cutting your hair as opposed to a bragging session.
Oh, I mean, Jane, I've got news for you. Men get their hair cut in barbershops to complain.
Do they?
About their girlfriends, about their wives, about their partners, about their kids, about their jobs. They're doing the exact same thing as women are doing. There's no, it's just a different setting. There's different lighting, essentially.
Oh, there's different lighting. True.
And I'm a firm believer that your hair experience should be like, if you are a believer in therapy, should be like a therapy experience where you should go to the person you feel most comfortable with. And I know so many people who are like, I can't leave my barber. I can't leave my salon.
Oh, for stylist. Sure.
Why not? Well, because I've been with them for so long and I'm like, well, do you enjoy the experience? Do they do what you want them to do? Not always. Well, then leave them. They don't deserve your money. They don't deserve your time. And frankly, if they're any sort of professional, they understand. There are tons of clients who never came back to me because for whatever reason, they didn't like the experience. They moved. They found a different place. There's many reasons. There's a couple of them where I was bummed because I didn't see them anymore.
Right.
But at the end of the day, that's their decision. I was nothing controlling over that. And I don't see nude barbershops and or salons taking off in Wisconsin. So I'm sorry, listeners. I don't think you'll have that option unless you go to your buddy's house and then, you know, do your thing. Live your life.
844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Is this something that appeals to you? Do we need nude barbershops? Do we need nude hair salons? Texture says, I will keep my clothes on. Thank you very much. First, I don't like the loose hairs on what exposed skin I already have. Second, I don't care to have my shoes off when I'm not in bed, let alone the rest of my clothes.
That's a hard pass for the 541. Hard pass. I mean, that's the thing is, like, and that you have to be of a certain comfort level to be around.
Oh, absolutely.
I would never do that.
No, I wouldn't either.
And not because, well, no, because I'm not comfortable with myself in that sense. And I'm willing to admit that. But hey, good on those who can do it. I mean, the Vice article definitely provided pictures.
There were some.
There were pictures. Mm-hmm. And it said right up in the article, it said this is not about sex. And
right.
There's, you know, this is just about, you know, being happy, being open. And I love that. What I did find interesting, though, is that one line that said he has 12 appointments a week, which has allowed him to quit his job. Like, if I had 12 appointments, that would be 2 days.
I was going to say, that's... How long are these sessions?
Yeah, are these like an hour long? Are you charging like $100 a client? I mean, maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's the thing for that experience. You have to pay more. But when he said 12 clients a week, I'm like, I would love to be able to quit my jobs if I had 12 clients a week.
No kidding. I mean, the average haircut can't take you more than an hour. Well, I would think an hour is a lot.
When I was cutting hair, I would say the longest haircut it would be... with everything from start to finish would be maybe 40 minutes.
Right.
And that's with a beard trim, a hot towel, and taking their money. Most haircuts would take me about 25, 30 minutes.
Yeah. It's not that long of a process.
No, but hey, but that's the thing is people will pay.
True.
And for that little moment, that little respite, get your money.
Well, again, though, I will go back to if he's getting by on just 12 appointments a week, then I do question whether this is not about sex.
Okay.
Doesn't that make you raise an eyebrow?
Not really, no, because honestly, in Brazil where they're living, it might be a cost of living difference.
And, I suppose.
And one person's cost of living is different than, I have no idea how that life is.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make the assumption of that. So.
Well, okay. Scooter from Wauwatosa checking in. Jane, don't bash it until you try it.
I'll bash it all I want. And I won't try it.
Scooter, I'm with Greg. I don't like looking at my own naked body. I certainly wouldn't want anyone else looking at my naked body. Good God, no. 844-967-2789. Greg, how about opening a barbershop where you cut hair and cut jokes?
That's a barbershop.
Comedy barbershop.
Oh, yeah. The barbershop I worked at, we used to have a comedy show there.
You did?
Yep.
Not while you were cutting hair.
No, it was on Sundays. It was called the Cold Pizza Comedy Show. And we would have pizza and we would have fun. It would be great.
I can see where that would be popular.
I think we got a call coming through.
Excellent. 844-967-2789. Good morning. Is this Rich? Hello?
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 Is this Ben?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Ben. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you. We are clothed. How are you?
I'm good. I am, too. I got to go to work. About nude hair salons, I think guys would pay for anything, really. I mean, if there's a good-looking woman cutting a guy's hair, they pay for it. I ain't seen a thing with women. If the guys are, you know, built, I mean, I don't see a problem with it, though, but, you know, each was owned. But I've been going to, like, ever since I was a kid, my mom took me to a Curves salon. I've been going to the salon because I prefer women touching my head. I like the deep nail scalp massage, you know, when they massage your hair, if they're really good at it, it's fantastic. So, I mean, and I'm very particular who cuts my hair because I get attached to the gal that does it. I had one I was living in the Falls at the time. She had a minor stroke after I moved, and it took me forever to find somebody back because I just, like, I don't know who, and, you know, it was just so hard.
It's a relationship. If it's good, then you develop a relationship with your right. stylist. You really do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, thanks for the call, Ben. We appreciate you calling.
Thanks a lot, Ben.
He's right. Now, in the article, Ben, and for everyone listening, these are men cutting men's hair.
Yes. There are no women involved.
Yeah, this is, but also there is something to be said about that. The amount of times that people would come in and say, I've been looking for somebody and I can't find anything. And when you give them that haircut and you see the look in their eyes, when they look at themselves in the mirror and you realize you did it, that feels really good.
I bet it does.
Because it takes a lot of trust. I mean, people will accept really junky haircuts because they feel like they have no choice.
Or they don't want to say anything.
Exactly. And they're like, I don't have time to, you know, this is, you know, but no, you shouldn't, don't settle for less, especially when it comes to your hair.
And you can break up with your stylist if you feel you need to.
Yep. And don't be upset if their stylist breaks up with you. That's happened as well.
Have you broken up with a client?
I've never done it, but I've told my bosses that at the time that if the person came in again, I would refuse to cut their hair.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That bad.
We did not see eye to eye on many things. I felt them to be a toxic human. I felt them to be almost like criminally toxic, and I couldn't handle that sort of behavior, and I didn't like it.
Well, boy, you get 86 from your hair salon. You really screwed up.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We're going to move on. We have a break coming up, and then when we come back, David Drake, UW Madison. What's that you say? Flamingos in Wisconsin? Yes, flamingos in Wisconsin. That's on the way. Don't go away. You're listening to Ask Us Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't say nay. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna say.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this
this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
A little fog this morning, then it is going to be mostly cloudy with a few off and on sprinkles here throughout the day. Our high 67, the wind east at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, but there will be a little more sunshine, especially in the afternoon, high of 71. We're going to kick it back to summer for the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Lots of sunshine with highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
To As Goes Wisconsin, our final break before we turn it over to the top of the hour news and then town call starting at 12:15. Right now, though, Greg Bach is on the board and my co-host today, Greg Bach Wednesday, and I'm very excited to have our next guest back again. We spoke not that long ago about the Roseate Spoonbill showing up in Wisconsin, and when I saw the story over the weekend that now we have flamingos showing up here, I emailed him at the last minute Sunday night, and it's like, I need you. So I'm delighted. And Greg has his own nickname for you, but let me just introduce you. David Drake is a professor and the Extension Wildlife Specialist at UW-Madison. David, thank you so much for joining us again.
Well, thank you for having me on. Always fun to talk about unusual birds.
Well, Greg, tell him what you call him.
I now refer to you as Jane's birder boyfriend.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Oh!
Now I have competition.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Ouch. God, I am wounded. Not at all. No, I had so much fun the last conversation that we had, and I just find it fascinating. And obviously a lot of other people find it fascinating because people were flocking to Port Washington. I had to. To see these flamingos. So, David, what do we know about this?
Well, Florida continues to send us their birds, apparently.
even the birds are fleeing Florida.
Yeah, even the birds are fleeing Florida. We'll leave the political discussion off the board for that. Yeah, it's unusual. Obviously, it's been a very unusual birding year. We had a painted red start here in the spring, which is a bird from the southwestern part of the United States. We've had the roseate spoonbills up here, and now we've got flamingos. And this is the first time anybody has on record of flamingos in Wisconsin. And they showed up, three adults and two juvenile, apparently. The thought is that they were blown off course or blown up here with Hurricane Adelia back at the end of August, as Hurricane Adelia kind of moved its way up the eastern coast of the United States, because flamingos were seen in kind of Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Pennsylvania. And so states had kind of been monitoring them as they were being blown north. And it's not unusual for birds to get blown off course, especially during migrations, for example. Flamingos don't necessarily migrate, but other birds do. But during migrations, birds can get blown off course and then find themselves well outside of their normal range. And that seems to be the case here. And flamingos are just a cool bird. You know, even people who don't know much about birds or don't know much about wildlife, everybody recognizes a flamingo because they're pink. They've got that kind of cool looking bill and they stand on one leg.
Yeah.
And what more do you need to know?
Well, right. And it's
it's not like they're innocuous and you're going to miss them. You know, and especially five of them. And that just sounds, it sounds like the plot for a Chevy Chase movie, that a family of five flamingos, you know, is flying to their vacation spot and they get blown off course and they end up not at Wally World, you know, or, or something like that.
Or maybe he's the groundskeeper of the golf course. You know,
Yeah. So what will happen next? I mean, obviously this is not their climate. They can't survive here. Do they stick around until it starts getting chilly and then go back south?
Yeah, that's a really good question. The last I checked, you know, while they were seen, we should let the listeners know, they were first seen at Port Washington.
Right, on Friday.
Of Lake Michigan, right, on Friday. And the last I checked, they were seen in Adams County on the Wisconsin River, and Adams County is in the central part of the state. So they seem to be moving around a little bit. And we are at the beginning of bird migration right now. So we'll have a lot of birds starting to fly south, and they'll fly south down to Texas, Florida, things like that, including sandhill cranes and some of the larger wading birds, like the great blue herons and other birds like that. And so it is possible that these flamingos will start working their way south, especially as the cold weather starts setting in and daylight starts lessening, that they'll figure out that they might be in the wrong place. And hopefully they'll get in with a flock of birds that are heading south, and we'll kind of get them back on course.
Yeah, don't take them to Canada. That, that would be bad. If you're if you're just joining us, David Drake is a professor and the Extension Wildlife Specialist at UW-Madison, and we are talking about the flamingo sighting that was Friday in Port Washington, and now, as David just said, apparently in Adams County. These migrations that happen are really massive, and it happens every year.
Yep.
And kind of goes unnoticed, but we're talking about an enormous number of birds on the move, right?
Millions and millions and millions and millions of birds, yes. And we have different flyways in the United States. So we have an east flyway down the East Coast, a flyway down kind of the central part of the state, down the mountain part of the, central part of the United States, mountain part of the United States, West Coast. And so we're in the central flyway, and birds typically will migrate north, south. They'll follow major coastlines, river bodies, things like that. And so, yes, and most birds fly at night, so we don't see them. But if you're interested in this, you can go just Google or search on the web for BirdCast, B-I-R-D-C-A-S-T, and you can watch the migration, bird migration through weather radar, essentially, is what how they're tracking the birds.
Cool.
And it's really, really cool to see.
David, you have made Jane's day.
Well, that's like the last the last time we had you on, and you told me about that app where you can actually hold up your phone and get the bird song, and it will identify it for you. Remind us again what the name of that app is, too.
Yep, the app is called Merlin, M-E-R-L-I-N, and Merlin's a type of raptor. So it's a free app you can download, and just as if you were trying to identify a song that you might be hearing in a barn, you can use Shazam. Merlin does the same thing, but instead of identifying the song, it identifies the bird singing that you hear, and is a very, very cool app and another way to get people outside. And especially nowadays, people are so attached to their electronics. This is a wonderful way to combine what we always have in our right or left hand while we're being outside.
You can get your kids outside that way.
Absolutely. Yep. And we stress that all the time.
Yep. That's great. Well, David Drake, it's always such a pleasure. The next time some bird lands in our lap, you know, I'm going to call you.
You know, I'm more than just birds, Jane.
Ooh, problems in Birderville.
Well, now that I know you have all these other birder girlfriends, I guess we'll have to reevaluate our relationship. Right,
I'm not cheap.
Oh, that was great. David Drake,
thank you.
So much fun. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Have a good rest of your day.
You as
Bye-bye.
Well.
Thanks.
And if you want to check out the show notes after the show, we will get those, the BirdCast up there. We will get the Merlin link up there. So if you want to download a couple of those, you can do that and get involved in the birding world, you guys. I swear to God, it's more fun than you think. Look at Greg. He's not buying it. Anyway, that does it for us. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you for texting. Thank you for watching. Above all, thank you for listening. We will be back with you tomorrow morning starting at 10 a.m. Stay right here. The news is coming up next. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Weed out your lederhosen. It's time for Oktoberfest in La Crosse, September 28th through the 30th. 3 days featuring German food and beer, Stein races, barrel rolling, and the best in live music, polka bands. Celebrate the friendliest fest in the Midwest, Oktoberfest in La Crosse, Thursday through Saturday, September 28th to the 30th at the Oktoberfest grounds. Find more information at OktoberfestUSA.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.